I got dressed up today for Dad. If you listen to him, he'd tell you you're supposed to wear your best to the Lord's house. So I put my diamond tie tack on. I put my best boots on. And this is the best I got. I'm going to preach today from Dad's Bible. I gave this Bible to him. And I was showing Dennis a few moments ago. He read it through 55 times. And he read the New Testament through 100 times. And believed every word of it. Yes. Hallelujah. Before I preach, I want to say that I'm operating on adrenaline today. I'm operating on the presence of God. The Holy Spirit's upon me to help me. There are no words to express our appreciation and gratitude to your pastor. He's been so kind to check on my mother and dad through the years that he's pastored this church. He's been such a faithful man of God and been in our house so many times. He could just go up to the door and walk in, and it'd been fine with either one of them. Brought food, always brought a word from the Lord. And Dad would jump me if I didn't get up and say thank you first to this shepherd, his shepherd, Brother Carl Cheshire. Show some love to your pastor, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dad called him the 13th apostle. He really did. You folks, Mom and Dad moved here in 93. He built every home we ever lived in. Our first one was in 1963. Me and my brother and sister were just little kids, and we'd walk down the road about half a mile to see every few days the progress on it. And we was raised in that home. It burned about 6 weeks ago back home in Tennessee. And anyway, all the houses we've lived in and Mama's lived in, Dad built, with exception of when they first married and they rented a place for a little while. But he said, tell folks I was a builder. He said, I wanted to work with my hands. I was a carpenter. And he said, tell them that I wanted to be like the carpenter from Nazareth. And thank you for your kindness, because they moved here not knowing anybody but Sharon and I. They moved here to be near their grandkids and us. And Mom and Dad left all their friends behind, all the family behind, and they moved here to be near us. And so when they started coming here to this church, you folks made them feel right at home. And you've been in Mom and Dad's home. You brought food. You've called them. You've checked on them. There's no way I can express to you our appreciation, but I say it on behalf of my mother, my brother, and my sister. Thank you for everything you've done, the food that's been brought in, all the kind things. Their yard's been mowed. They just so appreciate it. And we appreciate it. And thank you from the bottom of our heart. When we were in El Paso 4 weeks ago in revival, I went to the Tony Lama place. If you know Dad, he liked camo. And I bought this cap, Tony Lama cap, for him. I had it set aside for Father's Day. He didn't get to wear it, but I just thought I'd show it to you today. I was thinking about Dad when I was in El Paso, and over the last several days, we really hadn't slept much, and just keeping watch. And I got up probably about 4 o'clock and then got back up again around 7 this morning and just stayed in the living room by him. About 8 o'clock, in fact, I'll tell you, yesterday, I had a feeling come over me Dad was going to leave today. And I called my sister and mother at the table last night, and I said, before Dad, y'all go to sleep, they were getting ready to go to bed. I said, before you go to sleep, I just have the feeling Papa's going to leave us within the next 12 hours. And if you want to say something to him, I think you ought to say it. My wife said, I felt the same thing. My son had been here and left and went back to Texarkana, and I talked to him about it, and he said, I wanted to tell everybody, I had a feeling come over me, Papa's going to leave tonight. We all were feeling something, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit dealing with us. Dad's about to go home. And for the last day and a half, he hasn't opened his eyes much at all, maybe just to, and then close. He's been on morphine and medicine to try to help him along. About 8 o'clock, I was sitting there looking at him, and all of a sudden, I noticed his breathing changed. And I jumped up and went to his side, grabbed him by the hand, and I said, go get Mama. She was trying to sleep, and they brought Mama in, and we just sat there. And about, well, it was at about 10 minutes after 9, we walked him all the way to the gates of heaven. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something, folks. It wasn't no fighting. There wasn't no struggling. He had never opened his eyes. And I had said yesterday, wouldn't it be wonderful if Dad could go home? Today's Pentecost Sunday, 50 days since Jesus resurrected from the dead. On this day, the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room. I said, wouldn't it be something if Dad got to go home on Pentecost Sunday? Happened at the third hour of the morning, which was 9 o'clock. And at 10 minutes after 9, Dad opened his eyes up and looked at us. Mama was standing just 2 feet away, holding his hand. He looked her right in the eyes. Tears started coming down his cheeks. And he couldn't talk, but he was looking around at all of us. We held his hand and told him, Dad, we're here with you. And we sang the praises of God when he crossed over. And the Lord has helped us and given us strength, Brother Carl. And we stayed with him just a few minutes ago. In fact, my mother and brother and sister and I went over to Agent yesterday to try to pick out a casket, and Mama did, and all of that. Paid for everything and then came back. And, you know, they showed up. Hospice called him, told him he's gone. They came just right after Dad left here. And they showed up, brought their gurney in. I helped load him on the gurney. And when we walked him out of the house, I was at the head of the gurney holding it. I stayed with him every step and helped load him in the hearse. And I tell you, me and Dad were close. Y'all are going to need to pray for Mama, because Dad's one of those old school guys. He'd suggest something to Mama and then do it. You know what I'm saying? He was like John Wayne. That's why he had John Wayne pictures hanging up in his den. He shot from the hip. He'd say, where you want to go eat? And then he'd pick the place. But Mama said today, she said, what am I going to do without him? I was married to him when I was 14. All I've known is Franklin Parker. And now my 64 years come and gone. What am I going to do? So she's going to need a lot of encouragement, folks. If you ever hugged Mama, if you ever loved on her, if you ever said, we're here for you, we're praying for you, you need to say that in the coming days and weeks. Dad's going to be taken. We're going to have a visitation at Muldrow. And for those of you who want to come, he's got grave plots for him and Mom, and me and Sharon, we're going to be buried side by side in Tennessee, and we're going to take him back there for his memorial service. But we're going to have a visitation here, and if you're able to go, we'll have all that decided tomorrow morning. So we'll try to call Pastor and let him know, and then he can get the word out on what times and everything. I want you to go real quick to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Your pastor was so kind to ask me. You know, we just had a revival, but he asked me to come and preach. He's been coming over and checking on Dad, and I was supposed to be today in Jacksonville, Florida, starting a revival tour of 3 weeks, and then to southern Alabama, and then up near Springfield, Missouri. And I canceled all of those meetings to be here because I just knew Dad was about to leave and wanted to be here with him and with Mama. So, you know, when you're evangelists, if you don't preach, you just don't get an offering. And that's your living. And so he was kind enough to ask me to come. So I appreciate this opportunity, Pastor. Whatever. We're grateful for it. I told Mama, she said, "You sure you feel like going, son?" I said, "Mama, I'm going to do what Dad would want me to do." She said, "What's that?" "He'd like to see a soul saved today on his day of his home going." So I'm here to get a soul saved. If there's somebody out there, I hope that I can get you to this altar in a few minutes' time. Look at Revelation 21, and let's begin at the first verse. My dear wife wouldn't let me come by myself. She's here today. What a helpmate the Lord gave me. And Sharon was there right there with him, hugging on him, loving on him, telling him, "Papa, I love you. You've been like a father to me." I praise the Lord for Sharon. Revelation 21 and verse 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" And I love this. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on the thought, gone. Thank you, Father, for the privilege I have to stand before these dear people today, my mother and father's beloved home church. And I ask for the Holy Spirit to help me. Give me strength, anoint these lips, and help me to reach somebody in this audience today for you. Help me to encourage someone, I pray. In Jesus' name, and the saints of the Lord all said amen. These verses of Scripture bring out a lot of emotion for me for three reasons. They remind me of three sets of circumstances in my life. First of all, they remind me of preachers God placed in my life. Number two, it reminds me of places that I've served as a pastor. And number three, it reminds me of people I have loved in life. You know, no matter how you may condition yourself for the passing of a dear one, no matter how many weeks or months, and I think we had about 2 weeks really, is all we had, which was Dad's prayer, "Lord, take me home. I'm ready to go." No matter if you've got months to get ready for the actual moment, there comes the inevitable shock and the grim final blow when you realize that your precious friend or loved one is no longer here. You know, I went through such terrible grief with my grandmother, my dad's mother, when she passed away. I was, so heartbroken. It took a year for me to get over it. I would pick up the phone and I would call her number, 903-635-9358. That's the only number Grandma and Granddaddy ever had. And I'd call her number, and I'd get halfway through a number, and it dawned on me, Grandma's not here. I'd sit down to write her a letter, because if you remember, all the old school folks liked letters. They liked to get a letter in the mail, so I'd write her a letter. And then I'd get started, and two or three sentences later, it dawned on me, my grandmother is gone. I can't call her. I can't write her. I can't receive a letter from her. I can't go sit down beside of her. I can't hold her hand. I can't rub her feet and help her. She's gone. Gone. She's gone with Gene Jackson, my pastor, who brought so many precious things into my life as a young preacher through the years. The impact that old man made upon me. Gone are the funny ways that my Uncle Ed, my mother's sister's husband, had. All of the fishing and hunting stories that all of us that grew up in the woods in the hills of Tennessee loved, Uncle Ed would tell them, and we loved it. He's gone. Gone are the great old-time country meals that my grandmother used to cook. Oh, what she could take a little dab of this, a touch of that, and make it taste fantastic. And those are gone. Gone are the old stories from the old horse and buggy days that my granddaddy Parker used to tell. He went from 1910, when he was born, saddling up horses and mules and riding them and in wagons to town to seeing a man land on the moon. Can you imagine the shock of it all to have seen all of that take place in his lifetime? And those old days are gone. Gone is the million-dollar smile that my granddaddy Hopper, my mother's daddy, had. Granddaddy Hopper looked just like Victor Mature, the actor in Hollywood. He was in My Darling Clementine with Henry Fonda. He played Samson. He's a handsome man. Granddaddy looked just like him. But he had a lazy eye. And that's where Mama, she has a lazy eye sometimes that drifts. And that's the way, and she got that from Granddaddy. And my granddaddy was such a sweet man. And the Lord let me go to the hospital and talk to him about his soul. And granddaddy got saved. And the last year of his life, granddaddy lived for Jesus, and he's in heaven. I just paid my respects about 2 months ago at his graveside in Tennessee. Hallelujah. But he's gone. Gone are the old saints of God. Do you remember those old men and women of God that prayed you through at the altar? I heard Pastor say last week he had friends who were with him at church, and people kept inviting him, and he went to the altar, and people went to the altar with him. And you know what? You'll never forget those men and women of God who served the Lord and lived for God and encouraged you and spoke into your life. But you know what? As wonderful as those people were, they're gone. I was thinking of Norma Rogers today. And I thought, you know, she knows me better than anybody in this church. She's been knowing me a long time. And I thought of her husband, Junior. If he's here today, he'd be hollering hallelujah for Dad. Y'all know him, he'd be shouting, woo! But you know, he's gone. And now Dad's gone. And you know, one of these days, all of us are going to leave if Jesus doesn't come for us. And I believe that time is soon to happen. Gone. And the chilling, numbing awareness that it can never be again down here. Gone. That's what makes death our enemy. Paul said the last enemy to be destroyed is death in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 26. Our friends and our loved ones and our neighbors and our dear ones are gone. People that got saved. God healed people in some of our pastorates where we prayed for them and the Lord healed them. But you know what? They still died. It seemed like death won. But I want to tell you something today, folks. Even though all of them are gone, I want to share some good news with you today. God is not gone. The Father is not gone. The blessed Holy Spirit is not gone. He's here. Jesus is here. He will never leave us nor forsake us. I said to Mama, Mama, if you need me to stay here with you, I'm going to stay here by your side. I'll never leave you, Mama. She said, honey, you told Brother Carl you'd preach this morning, and he's counting on you. I said, I know it, and I'm going to go if you can make it. She said, Jesus is with me. She said, Franklin is gone. That's not him laying there. She said, you can look and tell he's gone. So she said, you go and preach because I know what you're doing. You're going to get a soul saved. Hallelujah. And the book of books is not gone. It's still here. That gives us strength and hope and courage as a child of God. You know, folks, as Christians, we know that our loved ones are just a little farther along than us who are gone. They are just over the border. This little boot camp is about over. You know, we went yesterday. John Bennett showed up at the house to tell Dad bye Friday night. And, you know, I told him, Dad's, their house burned. And Dad had his uniform and all his medals and everything, and all that burned up when the house burned. And Dad just hated it so bad. He was so proud of his time in the military. And I told John, I said, you know, I just wished I had a uniform to put Dad in. He said, I'll get you tomorrow. I'll be here at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'll pick you up. Just a minute. He made a call over to Fort Chaffee, and he called the PX over there, and he said, we're going to be over there to pick up some uniforms. Y'all got them? Yes. And we went yesterday. Joseph went with me, and we went over and bought Dad an Army uniform. He's going to have a beautiful blue jacket, blue pants. We got all of his medals. We didn't get the Hell on Wheels patches for his 78th Armored Battalion that he was in, but we got pins that will fit on them. We got his we got his staff sergeant stripes. We got it all, and paid for it and brought it home. I pulled it up trying to show it to him. He never did see it, but when he opened his eyes, I told him, Dad, I got you a beautiful suit. And I said, you're going to look so handsome, and you'd be so proud if you could see it. But I know it can't compare to what you've got now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So our little boot camp is just about over. Our internship is almost past. Yes, Grandma Parker has been promoted. I love so much to a higher grade. She is gone, and we are going. And some of us are not far down the line. You know what, folks? One of these days, the picture is going to change. And I want you to hold on to this. The picture is going to change one day with us that are born again. What is gone will be present. And what is present now will be gone. We'll see our loved ones again that died in the Lord. I'm going to see the eyes of my handsome granddaddy Hopper. I'm going to hear the golden voice of Marty Robbins sing. My pastor friend in Nashville led him to Jesus, and he was in his church for the last year of his life, praising God and singing the songs of the Lord on his platform. Hallelujah. I'm going to hear that old boy sing, and he probably won't be singing El Paso. He's going to have another song. He'll sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. Amen. Where will the tears be then, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to see my daddy again. I was holding his hand as we saw he was about to leave, and I looked right over in his eyes, Brother Eddie, and you know what I said to him? Dad, I'll see you again. I promise you. And tell Grandma Parker and Grandma Ross and Granddaddy Hopper, tell them I'm on my way. I'm still headed that way. And he was just looking at me, tears running down his cheeks. He couldn't talk, but brother, I want to tell you, I knew he was, I'll tell you what he did. He hadn't spoken in so long, and he sat right up in the bed. I think I told Pastor this. And he looked at Mama, and he said, I'm almost home. She said, is that right? And he started doing like this. He said, I see God. And he was reaching up for him. I believe he's seeing him, folks. And I know he's seen him now. But at that moment, he was reaching up. I see God. You can't know the peace that that gives you when you know that sweet, precious person that you love so much. They're not in pain. The pain is over. There's no more lung cancer in my daddy's right lung. There's no more cancer in his ribs and in his lymph nodes and in his back. I'm telling you, he don't need any morphine today. Amen. Where will the tears be then? Gone. Gone because God himself will wipe away all tears from our eyes. What happened to death? Gone. What happened to sorrow? Gone. What happened to pain? Gone. What happened to separation? Gone. The loneliness is gone. Our hearts will never break again because all of that will be gone. What happened to the devil? Gone. What happened to sin? Gone. What happened to the long, lonely nights and the cloudy days? What happened to that broken heart, Sister Virginia? The days of broken-hearted depression, that which once was can never be again in this life. All of that's gone. Revelation 21:4, for the former things are passed away. Amen. Saints of God, I want to encourage you today. Your friend, your loved one, your dear one is not gone. They're just gone ahead. Dad used to sing this old Hank Williams song, should you go first and I'll remain. One thing I'd have you do, walk slowly down the path of death, for soon I'll follow you. I'll want to know each step you take. I'll want to walk the same. For someday down that lonely road, you'll hear me call your name. Sister, would you come to the piano, please? And we're going to, our pianist, could you come? Okay. I want to leave this with you, folks. You never forget what I'm going to share here with you. Pastor may have already shared this with you sometime. But this has helped me through the years. Death can hide, but not divide. Thou art but on Christ's other side. Thou art with Christ and Christ with me. United still in Christ are we. Hallelujah. So you know what that means? If Christ is with me and I'm with him, if he abides in me and I abide in him, and if my daddy is with him, then we're never far apart. An 18-year-old boy was praying for his dad to get saved, asking God to save him. Lord, save my dad. And he was at the altar praying on a Sunday night. And he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to him and say, pray an hour a day for him. So every day from his 18th birthday to his 19th birthday, he prayed an hour a day for his dad to be saved. His 19th birthday came and his dad still wasn't saved. So about 4 or 5 weeks later, he was at that same altar at the church praying. And he said, God, save Dad. Don't let him die an alcoholic. Save him, Lord. Whatever it takes, would you save him? And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, fast a week for him. I didn't know what fasting was. And you can look at me and tell I don't do a lot of it now. I did last week. For Dad. But I want to tell you, folks, he told his family, I'm going to go on a fast. He asked the pastor, what does that mean? And he said, that means you don't eat and you just drink water and you don't watch TV. And of course, we didn't have the internet. What did we do without internet and a cell phone, all that stuff to occupy us? He said, you just shut yourself in with God. Yeah, but I work. Well, that's okay. You work and you fast and pray. And he weighed 185 pounds. And in that week's time of fasting and prayer, he lost 163 pounds. And when he came in one particular day, his dad was under such conviction about being lost. Now he'd been praying and fasting for a week. And God is dealing with him. And he's cooking supper for the family when they walked in. He said, dinner, supper will be ready in about 20 minutes. And he had a big pot of beans and some cornbread, fried potatoes and some fried squash. Come on, somebody. And some fried green tomatoes. And his son said, Dad, I can't eat with you. Because he knew he expected him to be at the table. And he said, why? He said, because, and he tried to figure out what to say. He said, I'm fasting. He said, what does fasting mean? He said, that means you do without food and drink water and you pray. And he said, you're doing what? I said, I'm fasting. He said, you've hung around the church so long, you've become crazy. You're a fanatic. He said, you've lost your mind. He looked at his son and he said, what are you fasting for? And he slammed that spatula down on the stove. What are you fasting for? And his son stood there with tears running down his face. And he said, Dad, I'm fasting and praying that you'll get saved. And you won't die lost, an alcoholic somewhere in a ditch. And his dad swallowed hard. He said, okay, go on. And then he stopped him before he walked away. And he said, let me ask you something. What could I do to get you to stop fasting? I said, number one, God would have to tell me. Or number two, you'd have to get saved. Now, if you get saved, then I'll quit fasting. But if you don't get saved, I can't quit. Okay, go on. He went to his bedroom and he got on his knees and he began to pray that hour. And when he started praying, Brother Bill, you know what happened? He and his wife sit at the table to eat, and the whole time they were sitting there, he was hearing his son with the wall just between him and his bedroom. He could hear his son in there. Oh God, don't let my daddy die lost. Save him in the name of Jesus. Please don't let daddy die lost. And his wife said he cried a bucket of tears in his beans and his potatoes, and he was choking on his cornbread, and he pushed his plate back, walked around outside kicking and bucking and jumping. And on Sunday afternoon, the pastor called and said, I can't preach tonight. I'm sick. Can you preach? And that young man said, yes. And he got up and preached the gospel that night. When he walked out of the youth service from 5 to 6 o'clock, when he come out for the evening service at 6, there his dad sat with his mom. And he preached about Abraham, who looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And when he gave the altar call, his dad jumped up and ran down the aisle and gave his heart to Jesus and was born again. Hallelujah. He got in the car on the way home and he pulled his Marlboros out of his pocket, smoked 2 packs a day. He threw them out the window. You ain't supposed to do that, but he threw them out the window. Got home and dumped out 2 6-packs of Coors Light. He dumped out a bottle of Old Crow. He dumped out a bottle of Jack Daniels No. 7. And his son said, what are you pouring all that out for? Because he said, I don't want to get tempted in the middle of the night to come back in here and get a drink, so I'm going to pour it all out and get it over with now. And he got saved. 2 months later, he asked his son to baptize him in water, and he did. And he said, I thought you was going to read the 119th Psalm while you had me down. I didn't think you was ever going to let me up. And his son was praying with him about a month later when the Lord baptized him in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He was there. What I'm trying to say is he was there to introduce him to Christ. And he was there with him this morning to help him take the hand of Christ and go to the other side. That was my daddy. Hallelujah. What a homegoing. Gone. But I'll see Franklin Parker again. Would you bow your heads, please? And I want to ask you to stand with me, if you don't mind. And I'm going to ask Pastor to please come and stand with me to receive you. I'm going to ask you this morning, if there is one